from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that's here to provide a recharge, whether you know, whether you're like whatever the heck, you know, you don't, whether you're USB-C, USB-A, whatever your attachment, like lightning, whatever those other thousand other ones are. I take all plugs all around the world to help you plug in and recharge. So you could say that later tonight or tomorrow, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, and I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. This episode was also made possible with the help of Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who did our theme music and edited this episode. Carl W., who edited this episode. Jonathan Mann on our lullabies. Scotty and Jennifer and Kenny on our artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. Also want to thank the patrons that support the show. And the listeners have their own Facebook group, and I want to thank the moderators. Sarah, Stacy, Laura, Keith, Julie, and Jennifer. And that's it. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it's a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, travel, changes in routine or weather, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to take your mind off that. I'd like to distract you. I'd like to put you at ease and keep you company here. The way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing tones, pointless meanders, tangents, extra, a lot of talking, going off topic, but friendly. I'm friendly. I'm here to help. If you're new, thanks for checking the show out. I'll just tell you right now, it doesn't work for everybody. It's a podcast to be here while you fall asleep. And the structure show, first 4 or so minutes are business. Then we have an intro. The intros are about 12 minutes because they're a show within a show. Put some people asleep. Some people listen for their own enjoyment or amusement or, you know, while they're putting on lotions and salves and creams and things and balms. Or, you know, getting all the covers set up and, you know, getting ready for bed, I guess was what I was saying. So the show starts business, a long intro show, which is you can fall asleep during that. You could skip it or you could listen to it. And then tonight we'll be talking about a recent episode of Doctor Who, a recent episode I viewed where we actually, this is the first time I said heard someone say Doctor Who. Like, why did you just call it? Why don't you get a name? In this episode, it was Spock. Was a suggested name. But here's the thing about the Doctor Who recaps. You don't have to watch Doctor Who. Recaps are just like a bedtime story you would hear as a kid. They resemble about as much of Doctor Who as Doctor 1, 4, and 7 resemble each other, which I don't know if they do. But that's like the numbers that came into my head. You'd say, which episode was Scooch talking about Doctor Who, about one? And you say, well, I don't know. Was there ever an episode where they played beach volleyball the whole time? Because it wasn't, I think he was talking about beach volleyball. That won't be this episode, but that could be something to say. Well, okay, I got a question. He's doing it with, what does the doctor wear to play beach volleyball? Did you say beach volleyball or beach volleyball? Well, both. The doctor wears whatever the doctor wears. Okay, so anyway, then I'll talk about Doctor Who. Then we'll have some thank yous at the end. And all told, I'll be here about an hour. And the reason is, this is a podcast. You don't really need to listen to it. You could just kind of listen or barely listen, or you could totally listen. I'll be here till the end to keep you company. And that's the other thing. I'll be here to keep you company, to take your mind off of stuff, and not necessarily to put you in pressure. There's no pressure to fall asleep. There's no shoulds, woulds. I mean, there probably are shoulds and woulds and coulds. But, you know, this podcast is just meant to be your companion, your friend, your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar cuz, your boar bestie, or your boar seuss, as I said recently. to be here as you drift off into dreamland, to take your mind off stuff. I think I said that a few times. And the reason is, like, I've always had trouble falling asleep. And sometimes people, and I don't think they do it intentionally, but not everybody is always the best at whatever that word, fancy word is for saying, oh, that's legit. Like, I don't think it's legitimizing feelings, because that doesn't really sound, that neither sounds clinical nor it makes me feel good. You say, oh, boy. Why don't you come over? We'll do spend the day legitimizing feelings. You say, what is that? Like a board game? That like a TV movie pilot? Was that one of the board games? Yeah, it was a board game I was going to launch. It was going to be the next big thing, legitimizing feelings. It was more of a card game. Yeah. It was all about legitimizing feelings or not. And it was complicated. And it didn't launch. I did some play testing. Unfortunately, I did I got worried about asking anybody to do any play testing. So I just play tested with myself. And then I got so competitive with myself that it took all the fun out of it. It took the joy out of legitimizing feelings. So then I just went back to recording podcast intros. But I don't know, sometimes, like particularly now when I'm recording, yeah, I have some strong feelings coming up every once in a while. And sometimes I can't even put words into them to describe them. They just say, well, I guess if I describe my feelings, it says, I don't totally feel comfortable being an adult, would be the summarize for the blanket term for all the feelings I'm going through. And sometimes people say, give you great advice like, well, just, you know, suck it up. Okay, get over it. Okay. You know, maybe they give you some more specific, well, why don't you try and name those feelings? And I said, well, if I had to name them, I'd say feelings I don't like, would that be like a Jeopardy category? Cause that would be it. Well, no, have you tried to talk to your feelings? You say, what am I, like, Dr. Doolittle or of the feelings? No, I just want to, I tell you what, I'd just like to get rid of these feelings is what I'd like to. Well, you can't just get rid of them. You got to deal with. Oh, okay. Have you dealt with your feelings? Well, believe it or not, I was dealing out a game of legitimizing feelings earlier. And that's where all these feelings came from. Because then I said, another part of me was counting the cards. And then a third part of me was watching my dealing with dissatisfaction. And then I realized that I was like supposed to be doing something else more productive than playtesting a game that could have legitimately changed legitimizing feelings and just keep board gaming. So yeah, now I have these feelings that are like, you haven't dealt with them. Are you avoiding your, I say, okay, enough with it. What if there was a world where we just said, whoa, that sounds tough. Tell me, how does it feel? I don't know. It feels like being an adult kind of, oh, yeah, I know that. I could say, maybe this is how a game of, this is why legitimizing feelings didn't launch. Say, wow, that's, sorry, that's, being an adult is tough. It can feel that way for sure. I can see it in your face. And the strangest thing that we're adults and somehow it kind of says, well, when the heck did I see, yeah, I hear you. Well, how about why don't you deal out, what's that game there? What do you play test in a game? Tell me more. Well, yeah, I don't want to, no, not that game. The other one. Oh yeah, this game, it's called Napkin Crash. This is a real good game I take a napkin, a used napkin, so it's also a way to repurpose, not super used, moderately used napkins, and I crumble them up, and then I pretend they're planets, or asteroids. I call them asteroids, and then I kind of have them crash into each other, and then I pretend. Oh, so are there any rules to the game? Well, there's a couple rules. Yeah, there are some rules that, like, slightly used napkin. I guess napkin that wouldn't be termed gross. That's one rule. don't use a new napkin, because would we, you know, then we'd have feelings about that. No, just no rules. Just have fun and pretend. Usually I make space noises, like, I guess it's less of a game, more of a pastime. Oh, wow. I like it. I like it. I can see, does it feel good when you crash the napkin asteroids into one another? It does feel pretty good. Why don't you go ahead and, when I take over, even though you're you and I'm you, you crash those, and I'll take the rest of the intro from here. Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, you like, it's too much time, people telling you, what, you know, go ahead and just enjoy playing with those napkins. Hey, Scoots here. Another version of Scoots, almost the same, but I'm not kidding. I've been legitimized, so I feel a little bit, or whatever the fancy word is, when you say, it's not vindicated either. I'm not sure what that feeling is where you say, wow, those are, I almost had it. It's like not vindicated, legitimized, or acknowledged. Validated. That's the one. Thank you. Yeah, I feel a little validated. I validated my buddy over there. So I'm a little bit more chill, and I didn't even stop the recorder or nothing. And it's really the role the podcast may serve, is to take your mind off stuff, to offer you a distraction. You say, well, why don't you put the playtesting aside and just to scrumble up some music napkins, and you could even do napkin racing or listen to a goofy bedtime story, because I know how it feels when you can't sleep, whatever the reason is. I don't know. I say, wow, that's, let me see if I can help. And the way I help is to tell goofy rambling bedtime stories, or in this case, barely resemblable version of, you want to talk about validating, I guess in some sense I'm invalidating the sensible plots of Doctor Who, but not really, because I do enjoy the show, and that's what the secret sauce is, you know, I enjoy the episodes are so full that I can really, you know, make them fuzzy and sleepable. So I'm glad you're here. I guess that's the main thing, and I hope I can help carry you off into dreamland. I appreciate you coming by. It takes a few tries of the podcast for people to say, what is this thing? And will it work for me? But I hope it works for you. And that's it. I really work hard. I strive and I yearn to help you fall asleep. So thanks again for coming by. Good night.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately.
No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
All right. So here we are. We're talking Series 1, Episode 9 of Doctor Who. Empty Child is it. But it opens with the TARDIS in space, and it seems to be chasing a tube. We have some funny dialogue that we'll get to. Doctor's really working hard. I said, does he have a stand? Is this a standing desk? Is this a standing cockpit? But I don't even have to ask, because most of the time it is. And then there was some green light on their faces, Rose and the Doctor, as they talked. And then a shot of Earth, and the episode opens. So, yeah, this is the first time I've seen the TARDIS in pursuit of something. And it moves through space better than you would think it would, but not so great. And Rose is like, Doctor, what's up? He goes, it's Mauve. I said, move? He said, no, Mauve, the color. Universally recognized color for a big, you know, capital T rhymes with P and stands for tube. And Rose said, I thought that was red, was that color. He goes, no, that's humans. He goes, everyone else uses Mauve. You and your red alerts create so much misunderstanding. And he says, it's got some basic flight computer. I'm just like like he's created a secondary drive and hooked himself into it. So she goes, how safe is this? He goes, totally, 100%, just like Scoots would say. And then he says, well, reasonably, because then the TARDIS starts to have some problems. And then it shoots into some sort of vortex. He goes, oh, no, it's changing time tracks, getting away. And Rose goes, what is it? The doctor goes, I don't know. She goes, well, why are we chasing? He goes, it's Mauve and it's, you know, trouble. And he goes, it's 30 seconds from London. And that's when we see Earth, and that's when it opens. Then we see, I also noticed on the Doctor Who logo at the beginning, there's glowing pips or rivets on there. So I wanted to talk to and mark that, just tell everybody. And we see the TARDIS in between some apartment buildings. There's laundry on the lines. They're big apartment buildings in an urban area, London, presumably. Someone's watching the Doctor and Rose. Rose has a Union Jack t-shirt, which will be many jokes. But someone's watching them go through blurry glasses or something. And I don't know if this was on a set or on location, but they did a little U-turn to simulate going down one alley and another one. I liked that. Then they talk about psychic paper, re-explain it for any new people. Or as a reminder, doctor tries to show Rose psychic paper. She goes, yeah, I already know what psychic paper is, doctor. Let's see what the dialogue said. Rose goes, let's see, they get out. He goes, how many times do we got to end up on Earth? And Rose goes, every 5 days, or is it just when we need milk? And the doctor says, of all the species in the universe, why do we get that out of cows? And then they're looking for this tube. Doctor goes, it's got to be within a mile. Maybe it was here a month ago. We're behind it with the time tracks. And Rose goes, jeepers, creepers. So Doctor goes, you want to drive? And she says, we were a little behind it. How much is that? And he goes, a bit. I thought that was funny. And she goes, exactly a bit. And then he goes, ish, a bit ish, I guess. And she goes, what's the plan? Are you going to scan for alien tech or something? And the doctor goes, no, I'm going to ask around. Dr. John Smith, Ministry of Asteroids, that's what psychic paper says. And she goes, yeah, I know. He goes, this is psychic paper. Rose goes, you bragged somebody else, dude. I know. And the doctor goes up to a warehouse door and there's music coming out of it. And he goes, what do you think? We should go in there. I'll use my sonic screwdriver. And Rose goes, scan for alien tech. And he goes, what do you mean? She goes, give me some Spock for once. And I assume she's talking about Spock from Star Trek. And then the doctor says, what about your shirt? And she goes, well, it's too early to say. I'm taking it out for a spin. And I think there was one more joke about Spock. Let me see. Not very Spock. Oh, that's what she said. You're not very Spock, doctor. And I said, the Spock? And then, yeah, she says, come on, do some Spock. But he's working a lot. Then a little kid is looking for his mommy. And so they split up. Rose tries to go help the kid looking for his mom. She says, hey, I'll help you find her. And what does this say? Declan Info, Indiana Jones. Oh, something in. Oh, doctor goes into an Indiana Jones level club. Even a femme fatale maybe is singing. There's candles. There's upper class, there's officers, and then the doctor, the singing stops, and the doctor really enthusiastically claps, very enthusiastic, like, great job. Then he just hops on stage, and he starts doing stand-up. He goes, hey, excuse me, by the way, can I get everybody's attention really quick? He goes, anything fallen from the sky recently? And this was like a double level bit, because the doctor says, anybody see anything from falling from the sky? He goes deadpan quiet. And then we go to Rose helping the kid. And then we go back, and the doctor goes, did I say something funny? And the audience just starts cracking up. He goes, you need to find something fell out of the sky. People are like, a wake-up alarm goes. Everybody's like, oh, we got to get back to work. Lunchtime's over. I put an obscure stand-up on there. Then Rose is trying to help the kid. She just grabs a rope and starts climbing. I had to WTF that one. Then we see more Dr. Comfy Air. Oh, he's more Dr. Comedy. So it's switching back and forth. Rose is on a rope. Doctor picks up he picks up the date by looking at the posters on the wall, realizes it's the 40s, I think. And Rose's rope's attached to a barrage balloon. What would I say in Syracuse? Podcast. Yeah, sure, you betcha. Barrage balloon. They call it a barrage balloon, I think. She calls to the doctor, and she starts floating off with this balloon. She's going for I guess it's a hot air balloon ride on a barrage balloon. And, you know, London's in the midst of a WW. Doctor goes and looks for Rose. He picks up a cat and talks to it. He says, hey, cat, how you doing? Also, Rose has more jokes about her shirt. And the doctor goes, hey, cat, how you doing? One day I'm going to meet some human that doesn't just wander off when I tell them not to wander off. And the cat says, meow, you know, I kind of like you. Picks up a cat and talks to it. Then his outside phone rings on the box. Not the inside phone, the outside phone. And he's stunned. Which is kind of surprising because the doctor doesn't ever get stunned. Two question marks. And then a girl appears, Nancy. She says, by the way, don't answer that phone. It's not for you. And the doctor goes, how do you know? She goes, I know. Just don't answer it. And he goes, how's it ringing? It's not hooked up to anything. And he turned to look at the phone, turns back, Nancy's gone. And he answers the phone. It's actually, he goes, hello, how may I help you? The doctor speaking. And they said, I guess he was in business mode because he was very serious. And then it's the kid looking, he goes, hey, have you seen my mom? And the doctor goes, this number, are you calling collect, kid? Because this is a, and the kid goes, are you my mom? And he goes, no. And then, the kid goes, how'd you call this? It's not even a real phone. And the kid goes, by the way, I'm looking for my mom. Keep an eye out for her. The doctor goes, okay. He goes, Rose, are you in the police box or what? The kid hung up on the doctor. I get to look at my notes. See, he said, how'd you call? The kid just hangs up. You know, he didn't do the whole Prince Albert in a can thing. So he calls and sees Rose is in the box, in the TARDIS, but she's not. So he runs off. Then we see Nancy. She's like a little bit like an Oliver Twist type character at this point. And there's an unhappy family. They have to enter. Their dinner's been interrupted. There's some nice theme music with to give Nancy this good orphan theme. And she starts collecting food. And then we see Rose is still on the balloon. And then we get a glimpse of this dashing hero named Jack, like straight out of a Marvel movie. And he's at the officer's club. He's got these high-tech binoculars. He says, sorry, old man, to another, not old man, but another officer. Then we see the orphan girl again. She sees this, a huge dinner laid out, and no one's eating it. So she goes outside, and she whistles all the neighborhood kids come in for a feast. She's very mothering. Then we go back to Rose, who's on the rope, and the dashing hero's like, I got to go. I see a young woman on a barrage balloon. I'm going to go help her. And so he heads out. Oh, one of the things Nancy took is shortbread. I just saw that too. But then he puts a tractor beam on Rose. Rose on a rope. I liked that. He puts a tractor beam on her. Nancy's looking around the house. I'm watching it right now. And she must smell there's turkey. Like a whole, like a holiday dinner. She's got a big grin. And then she goes to call the kids. And when Rose is in the tractor beam, she says, the dashing hero Jack says, keep your hands and feet inside the tractor beam at all times and shut off your cell phone. And Rose goes, you're kidding me, right? And he goes, no, it really messes things up. We don't just say that. And, yeah, she says, yeah, nobody believes it. And then she does. And he says, oh, thank you. And she says, it's great. You know, I'm in the sky with a Union Jack across my chest. But, hey, at least my phone's off. And Jack is in this very modern spaceship. And then the computer says, what does it say? Non-contemporary life form. And doctor says, she's not around here, from around here, no. Yeah, Jack the hero talks to the computer. Then he brings Rose down by tractor beam, catches her, and they have a little, flirting moment. He goes, you're fine. Tractor beam can, you know, be a little bit confusing. And Rose goes, hello. And the doctor goes, hello. And then she says, hello. And Rose is good. She's like, sorry, I said hello twice there. A bit of a doll, you know, And the doctor says, you okay? And Rose says, well, I'm a little light. I'm going to sit down for a minute and shut my eyes. So she does. She sits down, takes a little nap. Then we have Nancy serving supper. More and more kids are coming to supper. Nancy has a lot of rules. One portion per kid, one slice per kid. She says, you know, treat everybody with respect. We're guests in this house. No comments. Everybody wash up. There's some new kids there, and Nancy says, what are you, sleeping rough? And the kids go, yes, miss. Best dressed, you know, these are very, Oliver-level orphans. They're very well-dressed, too. And she says, everyone chew properly, and they all say, thanks, miss, thank you, miss, thank you, miss. And then they're passing around, and they'll sit here, thanks, miss. And it's the doctor. And all the kids are surprised. Adult in the room. They don't know if it's the doctor, though. Nancy says, don't worry, kids. And then the doctor plays along. He's totally in his element. He says, good in here, isn't it? Who's got the salt, please? Yeah, put doctor in his element. He loves that. And the doctor goes, so you lot, what's your story? And one of the kids says, what do you mean? And he goes, well, you're living on your own, living rough. Another kid says, what are you, a copper? And he goes, Dietrich crushes it. He goes, I'm not a copper. He goes, what's a copper going to do for you? Arrest you for being hungry? And he goes, doctor, if it's 1941, you kids shouldn't even be here. He goes, you should have been out in the country. And they go, yeah, well, the city's got food, so we're here in the city. And they go, it's better here. A little mystery. And the doctor goes, so it's Nancy, you're big-hearted, keeping track of these kids and getting them these big meals. You wait until everybody goes and hides out, and then you go find a big family meal. He says, seems like a decent plan for now. He goes, brilliant. He goes, if it's not Marxism, it could be a West End musical. And then Nancy says, what do you want? Why are you following me around? He goes, I still can't figure out that phone thing, that trick. And she goes, I told you not to answer it, and that's all I'm saying. And then the doctor goes, I'm looking for a blonde and a Union Jack. And all the kids laugh. He goes, a specific one. I didn't just wake up and decide this. And the children laugh more. And the doctor goes, anyone seen someone like that? And Nancy takes his plate away. Your doctor goes, what's the matter? She goes, you took two slices. And she goes, no blondes, no flags. Anything else before you leave? And the doctor goes, yeah, actually, I'm looking for something else that fell out of the sky, like a tube ship. It looks like a pickle. He draws a picture. It looks like a pickle. And the children know exactly what it is. Doctor, what does this say? Jest Bostai. Gets busted for taking two slices. Then the kid comes looking for his mommy. Ends up, it's a little bit of a game that all the kids play. And he's it. And they're still playing it. So they say, okay, we got to get out of here. This is like the game Chasing. But it's who's finding my mommy. So it's fun. All the kids go back and try. And Nancy's like, everybody get back and hide. But then the doctor says, Nancy, why are you letting a game interrupt a dinner? He goes, there's something else. Another element to this game that I don't understand. And then the kid outside makes the phone ring, and the doctor goes like that. And then he makes the radio go on. And he goes, the person that's it's got more power than, he goes, this isn't, I don't know if the rules of this game are fair. Then the kid makes a wind up monkey go and say, hey, I'm looking for mommy. And Nancy bails, and the kid goes through the mail slot because the doctor's not sure if he's going to play. And the doctor goes, mommy, there's no mommies here, just me, just us chickens. And he goes, actually, just this chicken. And then the kid, I don't know if he tried to trick the doctor, he goes, hey, come on, I just want to play this game. Open the door and let's play together. And then the doctor decides to open the door, but the kid's already gone. And they do a really good somatic connection, you know, to the doctor with these kids and everything in this situation, where it reminds him of his past. Also, we'll see, very similar to Star Trek. This is a pro-human. Again, I just said, can you be jingoistic about humans? This is more about Britain being great. But it's still, the doctor's a big fan of humans, humanity, and everybody in the UK. Then we're on a spaceship. Rose wakes up and she's charmed and awkward, and charmingly awkward. And she wakes up with Dashing Jack. She sees his psychic paper right away. He goes, first they go, hello. She goes, hello. He goes, okay. She goes, let's not start that again. And she goes, who are you? And he shows his psychic paper. He goes, Jack Harkness, 133rd Royal Air Force, American. Rose goes, you're lying. That psychic paper tells you, but you can tell it what you wanted to, but you accidentally put your dating profile on there. And Jack says, how did you know? She goes, I got a friend who has psychic paper. She goes, so you're single and you work out, eh? And Jack goes, oh boy, yeah, she goes, yeah, you got to think about it. And she hands it back to him, and he goes, oh, so you just, you kind of have a boyfriend named Mickey, but you're also very available. And Rose goes, how about we talk without the psychic paper? And the doctor goes, yeah. And she goes, yeah, well, this is a nice spaceship. And Rose's acting is very high level. She goes, this is like a Spock level spaceship. And Jack doesn't know who Spock is. And she goes, okay, I guess you're not local. And he goes, you got an LCD watch, a cell phone, and some fabrics that are like from 20 years from now. You're not local either. She goes, you got it. And he goes, did you get any rope scrapes? And she goes, yeah. And she looks out the window. She goes, we're in the middle of the sky just hovering. And he goes, here, I got some nanobots to fix your hands, nanogenes. And Rose is pretty impressed with that one. And then Jack goes, by the way, you can cut it out. He goes, I know what a time agent, I know you're a time agent. And Rose goes, oh, time agent, huh? And he goes, I've never seen a time agent fly by barrage balloon. And she goes, sometimes I get swept off my feet by balloons. He says, my nanogenes rock. And she goes, well, tell them thanks. And then they're kind of smiling. And then Jack says, let's get down to business. Drink some champagne on ice up on the roof in front of Big Ben. And we see that he has his ship is kind of cloaked. It's almost invisible, which Rose kind of finds obviously strange to stand on an invisible ship. And she says, don't worry, Rose, you're standing on something. And then the doctor makes the ship appear. And she goes, so you have an invisible spaceship tethered to Big Ben for some reason. And Jack goes, first rule of active camouflage, park where you remember. And then they start pouring the champagne. Then we see, oh, then this is a good scene. Nancy's like trying to hide some food for somebody. And the doctor's there. She goes, would you follow me? He goes, yeah, I got a nose for it. And she goes, usually people can't follow me unless I want to let them. And the doctor goes, I have, you know, my nose has special powers. And this one really hit home with me. She goes, is that why it's so, and he goes, what? And she goes, does your ears have special powers too? And I can remember the first time somebody made fun of the size of my nose. And I was like, really? I didn't really realize I needed, and I don't think they were doing it. They were doing it in a more friendly banter way. So I can relate to that. And I don't know if my ears are big, though. But the doctor goes, what are you trying to say? And Nancy goes, I got to go. And the doctor goes, look at Nancy, you can't play games forever with this other kid. You guys got to take turns being the one who's IT. And he goes, plus I have to find that pickle ship, the ship that looks like a pickle. And Nancy goes, it fell on the other house, Limehouse Green Station. And good luck getting it to it because it's guarded by people. And the doctor goes, well, I got to get to it. And she goes, well, you could talk to somebody first, the doctor. And that's more of a trailer moment, I guess. But it was pretty cool to be able to, like, at first be like, wait, the doctor has to talk to the doctor. Is it another doctor? Then we have Jack and Rose drinking champagne on an ice-like ship. And Rose goes, I got hit the road. And he goes, no, we're doing business. She goes, this isn't business, it's champagne. He goes, I can't do business with a clear head. And he starts talking in riddles. He says, can you negotiate with me? And she goes, she tries to play along. I go, oh, yeah, what do you want to negotiate? He goes, something for you to buy. Can you make a payment? And Rose goes, well, I have to talk to my partner. And he goes, partner? And she goes, yeah, I got to get back to him. And he goes, him? And Rose goes, she says, well, do you, by the way, do you have the time? And he like uses his kind of upgraded psychic screwdriver or whatever to turn Big Ben on, like some smooth move. And Rose even says, okay, that was Flash. That was on the Flash side. And the doctor, or this Jack kind of makes a move on Rose. And he goes, when you say companion, partner, what do you mean? And Rose goes, okay, I'm just trying to think straight headed here. On a spaceship during, you know, the WW, she goes, do you really think this is the best time to not discuss business? And then he walks away and he says, oh, perhaps not. And Rose goes, well, it's just a suggestion. And then he says, do you like Glenn Miller? And then he puts Moonlight Serenade on. and they start dancing. And he says, 1941, the height of the BLITZ. And he goes, but a pickle ship also fell, a Chula pickle ship, last one in existence. And he goes, everything's on it, because, and I know because I parked it. And he says, if the, this is why they're dancing. He says, if the agency has the right price, I can get it. Otherwise, I'm going to make it go bye-bye. You got 2 hours or 2 days or something. And he goes, how about payment? And she goes, do you know what I think? And he goes, what? And he goes, she says, oh, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking about. And the doctor goes, 2 hours, Rose, to figure it out. And she goes, promises, promises. He goes, are you even listening? And then she goes, yeah, so you, what are you, a free, you were a time agent and now you're a freelancer? And he goes, I'm a tough guy, Rose. I'm not a hero. I'm an anti-hero. And she goes, I bet you think of yourself that way. And he goes, so is this companion of yours handle the business? And she goes, well, I delegate, but yeah, sometimes. And he goes, well, maybe we should go get him. And Rose goes, how can you do that? And he goes, well, I'll scan for some alien tech. And Rose goes, finally, a professional. It's kind of funny. And next we have Doctor and Nancy. And Doctor has some, like, high-tech Binoc opera glasses, too. Not as high-tech as Jack's, but his are brass, I think. And the doctor is really, like, as I said, thematically, this makes sense, but also personally, he's very curious and caring about Nancy. Because she says, just go check and talk to the doctor. Because after you find out, you might not want that pickle ship. But then she's like, I got to get out of here. And the doctor goes, where are you going? She goes, to get food for the kids. And the doctor goes, can I ask you a question? Like, why do you do it? Why are you so caring and helpful? And she goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, you're looking after all those kids. Maybe it's to make up for something. And she goes, yeah, I miss my brother. He is living in the country on a farm, running around all the time. And the doctor goes, oh, and she goes, yeah, yeah, so I miss him. So, you know, I like to be around other kids till I see him again. And the doctor goes, amazing. And Nancy goes, how so? And the doctor says, well, 1941, and you're the underdog. You know, dominoes are falling. This is where you get to the pro message. He goes, one tiny, damp little island says, no, not here. A mouse in front of a lion. And he says, you're amazing, a lot of you. He goes, I don't know how other people feel about you, but, whoa, boy, you're courageous. Now off you go. Save the world, Nancy. And so that was a sweet moment, I thought. Nancy and Brits, I put it. And the doctor meets the doctor. And it was like, I would tell you now, it was like a little bit anticlimactic because it was just a doctor. And they're at like a sleep lab, believe it or not, and all of the unexpected things, and especially in the midst of the Blitz, it's a sleep lab. And this doctor's studying snoring, but a very special kind of snoring, which ties into the plot. And the doctor can't believe all these people are snoring, and their snore is saying like this kind of Three Stooges-esque snore where everybody says, they don't want to do the snore, but it's like, mommy, like a snore like that, but a little bit more like a Three Stooges level snore, but I got to make a sleep podcast. But everybody's doing that same snore, and the doctor's like, everybody in a sleep test is snoring that way. And the doctor goes, why do you think they're snoring that way? But they're asleep. And the doctor goes, only kind of. And he goes, are you the doctor? He goes, yeah, Dr. Constantine, who are you? He goes, friend of Nancy's. He goes, oh, Nancy, you must be looking for that pickle ship then. And the doctor goes, did you say pickle ship or pickle chip? And Constantine says, ship, what do you know about it? And the doctor goes, I was just asking around. And he goes, what do you know about it? And Constantine goes, I'm pretty sure it's causing the snoring situation. Because when it came, that's when everybody started, went to sleep and started snoring in unison. And the doctor goes, it seems like you're about to start snoring. And he goes, none of this is even possible. And he goes, yeah, I don't think it is. It's strange. And then Dr. Constantine says, are you a doctor? And the doctor says, I have my moments. And he goes, go ahead, really listen to their snores and even their breathing. And the doctor does. He says, all of the breathing is in sync in the same snore, snore, snore. Mommy, inhale, the saying mommy too, but that's too much for this show. He goes, I can't believe it. Every single one, not possible. And Dr. Constantine says, this is some sort of snortagin, a contagious snore, like a sympathetic vibration, but with snoring. And not, again, counterintuitive, not even possible. And he goes, identical snores. He goes, when did it start? And the doctor goes, again, when the pickle ship came. First, it was this one kid. Then it was everybody. Everybody started snoring the same. Everybody started breathing inside and out. And the doctor goes, well, what wakes him up? He goes, I get a chance to play a game, like a hide-and-go-seek level game called Go Chasing Mommy. And then everybody says, are we playing? Everybody sits up. They say, what, we're going to play the game? You got to be kidding me. This is great. The doctor goes, what, are you the only person helping out with these snores? He goes, yeah. He goes, I'm a doctor. I got to help. And the doctor says, I know. And the doctor says, we can't keep, this snortagin's going to cause everybody to snore in London. He goes, so go up to the shop floor and find Nancy. And he goes, Nancy, why? He goes, it's her brother. He's out there, but he goes, he's snoring. He goes, he's not just playing hide and seek. He's snoring, mommy. And then Dr. Constantine falls asleep, which is, the doctor says, holy cow, I thought we were going to figure something out, and you just fell asleep on me. Dr. Top Floor falls asleep, snores. Mommy's a snorer. Nancy's brother snore. Then Jack and Rose show up, but Rose is still playing with Jack. So they say hello. They meet in the hallway, and Jack goes, hey, good evening, I'm Jack Harkness, heard all about you. And Rose goes, he knows we're time agents. And the doctor goes, huh? And Jack goes, pleasure to meet you, Mr. Spock. And he pats the doctor, and then the doctor goes, Mr. Spock. And Rose goes, and this is important. I don't know if they did this in other ones, but she goes, well, what was I supposed to say? You don't have a name. Don't you ever get tired of doctor? Doctor who? So I thought that was cool. And then the doctor says, how am I doing? Well, 9 centuries later, I'm still doing my best. He goes, what are you doing? We're just going to stroll around here. And Rose goes, strolling. I flew by barrage balloon. And the doctor goes, what? And then Rose goes, what's a Chula pickle ship? And the doctor goes, a Chula pickle ship. Holy mackerel. Then we jump back to Nancy. She is playing hide and seek with her brother, who's, I guess, is sleepwalking and playing hide and seek, is snoring to mommy. And Nancy's really trying to find, like, hide, because I guess if you get tagged, you snore. And she's like, well, I can't be sleeping when I'm collecting food for all these other kids, so I have a duty to do. Then we hop back to the doctor. Let's see, Nancy's brother. Doctor Who, barrage balloon, Chula ship. Okay, so then they go back into the sleep lab and they see everybody. And Jack goes, this is impossible. Everybody's snoring in unison. How'd this happen? And the doctor goes, tell me more about the Chula ship. And Jack goes, what? And Rose goes, he stole it and parked it somewhere. Unless we pay him, he's going to get rid of it. And the doctor goes, what kind of Chula ship is it? And Jack goes, it wasn't a pickle. It was a Chula tube ship, not a pickle ship. And he goes, that's what you chase through the time vortex. A tube ship, not a pickle ship. He goes, I wanted you to think it was a pickle ship, but it's empty. No pickles, nothing but a shell. Because I saw your retro time vehicle. Nice panels, by the way. And I tried to throw some bait at you. And Rose goes, bait? And he goes, yeah, I was going to try to sell it to you and then get rid of it before you found out it was just a tube ship and not a pickle ship. And Rose goes, but you said it was a pickle ship. He goes, pickle ship to tube ship. He goes, I was conning you. I'm a con man. I thought you were time agents, but you're not, right? And Rose goes, nope, we're just freelancers. He goes, you should have known the way you're dressed. I mean, flag girl and U-boat captain with the doctor's leather jacket and Rose's shirt. She kind of looks at it. And he goes, but this snoring has nothing to do with the ship. And Rose doesn't buy it. So she says, doctor, what do you think? And everybody starts being snoring and decides to play Hide and Go Mommy or whatever, Chasing Mommy. And the doctor goes, something's going on. He goes, this is a snortagian. And he goes, I've never seen it before, so I don't understand why it's happening. What's the point? And then we see Nancy and her brother Nancy trying to get out of chasing. And Rose goes, I don't know. And so then they start playing chase with all the people that are asleep. And Rose is like, how do we play tag if the other team's asleep? And the doctor goes, I don't know. And we get some cuts back to Nancy playing hide and seek or chase, and Rose and the doctor and Jack playing chase. And it switches back and forth with Nancy trying to say, hey, why don't you just wake up? Let's stop playing chase and eat some turkey. And then the doctor, Rose, and Jack trying to wake everybody up and saying, quit being turkeys. We're trying to wake you up and not play hide and seek. And then the episode actually comes to an end because it's a two-parter, which I didn't realize when I started it. So will the sleepwalking mommy snorers keep snoring, or will the doctor wake them up? And what does a pickle ship even have to do with it? We'll find out next time. So let's see, a couple of things to give up in the episode where Time Agent, which is actually like a fan YouTube series by Well Built Productions, it depicts the adventures of the time agents, traveling time agents who deal with ET type stuff, loosely based on, so the show's loosely based on, so I don't know if Time Agents will turn up again. I don't want to talk too much about Time Agent because I don't want to ruin it in case everybody finds out. Let's see what Time Agency says on the TARDIS wiki. Time Agency was an organization founded to fill the vacuum of power left by the Time Lords. Originated around the 49th century, and it was shut down after the 52nd century. It employed humans called Time Agents who used vortex manipulators to travel through time. Agency also dealt with time loops by containing them in bubble universes. Agent's purpose is to change without interfering, leaving an effect with no evidence of cause, untraceable, undetectable, invisible. Agents do not exist. So let's see some other things where Rose said, it's on the Flash side, which, when you look up anything on Google, it just comes up for words for, the Flash, but you could assume it means something cool. Sorry, old man. I couldn't find any good examples of the origin of that. MAUVE, is a pale purple color. It was a pale purple aniline dye prepared by William H. Perkin in 1856. It was the first synthetic dye stuff. It's named after the mallow flower. And the first use of mauve as a color was in 1796 to 98, according to Oxford English Dictionary, but may have been rare before 1859. I like to that Doctor Who reference in there. So some good stuff about Spock in the TARDIS wiki here. Spock is a character, Rose Tyler, associated with more professional use of technology while in London. She bemoaned the Doctor's reliance on the sonic screwdriver and conversation as his primary investigative tools. Donna Noble also seems familiar with the character of Spock. In a parallel universe, Spock was a crew member of the USS Enterprise in the 23rd century. On one occasion, the 11th Doctor recalled memories of his fourth incarnation meeting up with Spock and the crew of the USS Enterprise to deal with some cyber persons. A fictional character named Spock appeared in the science fiction television series Star Trek in the Doctor's universe. When the third Doctor told Sergeant John Benton he had visited a parallel universe, Benton asked, "You mean like a Star Trek episode where Spock had a beard?" This character was played by Leonard Nimoy and said at least once, "The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few." Spock's brain was an episode that multiple Star Trek episode multiple Doctor Who characters had seen. Or even called it their favorite episode. I think Spock's Brain is also the name of a fish, obscure fish song or something. Something else, some other major reference I'm missing. There's mentions of Spock in multiple episodes, and they treat him as, sometimes they treat him as a real individual in alternate dimension, and other times as a fictional character. And Leonard Nimoy was even considered to direct a 1996 TV movie, Doctor Who, Nth Doctor. It's in that book. And so that's a little bit about Doctor Who and Spock. And so, yeah, make it flash and give me some Spock as you snuggle in and get comfy and cozy. Good night. I want to thank everybody who said hi on YouTube. Helena. Liz Libby, thanks, and good night. Bearing Beauty, thanks, and good night. Challenge, thanks, and good night. Laura, thanks, and good night. Shauna, thank you, thanks, and good night. Super, thank you, thanks, and good night. Janice, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jessica, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kiki and Asal, thank you, thanks, and good night. Maddie, thank you, thanks, and good night. Tyler, thanks, and good night. Asma, thanks, and good night. Bean, thank you, thanks, and good night. Random, thanks, and good night. Jess, thanks, and good night. Helena, thanks, and good night. Toaster, thank you, thanks, and good night. Diego, thanks, and good night. Shannon, thanks, and good night. Shawnee, thanks, and good night. Lizzie, thanks, and good night. Window, thanks, and good night. SUV, thank you, and good night. Aux, thank you, and good night. Oren, thanks, and good night. Helani, thanks, and good night. Vortex, thanks, and good night. Winter, thank you, and good night. My Sosa, thanks, and good night. 7J7, thanks, and good night. Jimmy, thank you, and good night. Danny, thanks, and good night. Captain, thank you, and good night. Kimmy, thank you, thanks, and good night. David, thank you, thanks, and good night. Joe, thank you, thanks, and good night. Amelia, thank you, thanks, and good night. Born, thanks, and good night. And E, thanks, and good night. Oh, wait, J, thank you, good night. Ninny, thanks, and good night. Lil, thanks, good night. Holly, thank you, and good night. Joaquim, thanks, and good night. Question mark, thanks, and good night. Laura, thanks, and good night. And Lizzie, thanks everybody for commenting on YouTube and the support, and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists. From that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.